Hello there.
Hello there.
Hello, what have we here?
Hello there, and thank you for joining me. Welcome back. This is Daniel Talks About Star Wars, the show where I do exactly as that name suggests. I'm the titular Daniel, and we're back. Well, I'm back, and maybe you are too. Had a little bit of a break, had a pretty busy December. Well, it was more busy October, November for me, really, when I was putting together all of those first episodes on the Star Wars films. So I just needed a bit of time to chill out after that. But I'm back now, and I'm going to be carrying on with a more traditional sort of release schedule. I haven't really figured out yet as I'm recording this if it's going to be weekly or maybe bi-weekly, but we'll just see how things go, I suppose. I don't want to commit to anything and say one thing or another right now, because if you've listened to my first few episodes on the Star Wars films, then you'll know that I was changing my mind like every other episode about whether or not I was going to be releasing them weekly or what. But I ended up doing them every other day, starting from the 1st of December to Christmas. And the reason I did it like that was just to get them out of the way, really. I know that the films are, of course, the backbone of the Star Wars franchise, but, you know, the films admittedly have sort of been talked to death, so I did kind of just want to get them out of the way as soon as I could, and by releasing them in bulk like that, I could do exactly that, and I could move on to different things that I wanted to talk about, you know, things that are a bit more, I don't want to say niche, because at the end of the day it is Star Wars, so it can hardly be niche really, but, you know, different forms of media. You know, I want to talk a bit more about, you know, some books, some comics, the TV shows as well, video games of course, you know, just anything like that. That's the kind of stuff I really want to sort of sink my teeth into, because of course a lot of that stuff will be quite new to me as well. Whereas, you know, the films, on the other hand, a lot of them I've no back to front, really. So, yeah, but kicking things off for my return today, I wanted to do something a little bit different, and that is to sort of have a bit of a chat about the music of Star Wars. That was something that I did, obviously, consistently mention throughout my talks on the different films. I often mentioned certain tracks that I liked. I feel like every episode I did mention that one particular track from one of the films what might be one of my favourites of all time. I feel like I said that quite a lot. But yeah, it's true. There's a lot of really great music in this franchise, and of course it's iconic. John Williams is just a genius, as I'm sure I've said many times before this. But of course, with Star Wars on television, and of course John Williams stepping away from the franchise for good now after the release of Episode 9, you know, there's plenty of other composers being given the opportunity to put their own spin on the sounds of Star Wars. Obviously Michael Giacchino and John Powell have had a crack in Rogue One and Solo respectively. Kevin Kiner has done the music for the Clone Wars and for Rebels in the past. More recently we've had Ludwig Göransson, who I'm just realising now, I've never said his name out loud before, Ludwig or Ludwig maybe, but yes, doing The Mandalorian, and that's all great music as well. That's been really well received actually. And with that, of course, we've had some sort of new and interesting sounds kind of be introduced into the world of Star Wars. There's a lot of tracks that have come out of The Mandalorian, and even more recently as well, in the final season of The Clone Wars, where they're sort of types of music, and they sound a certain way that is very different to what we are used to with Star Wars and what John Williams would typically give us. And they're the types of tracks and music that I would have probably said in the past, just, you don't do, and that wouldn't work for Star Wars. But actually, hearing them now and seeing them executed, or hearing them executed rather, in the Mandalorian, Clone Wars, you know, they are really great, and it's actually really exciting to hear these new musical takes on the Star Wars galaxy, and that is something that I'm very much looking forward to moving forward when we are, you know, getting all of these other shows that are coming out as well, and we'll see how the music shapes up for Rogue Squadron as well, when that eventually comes out, the next film. I'll be excited to see who's composing the music for that. Really great stuff, and the music is such a consistently beloved aspect of the Star Wars films, you know, right from A New Hope till now. The Star Wars fandom is one that is rampant with discourse and differing opinions, but, and it's been said before, one thing that we all agree on every time is how much we enjoy the music, and back in the day that meant that, you know, when people weren't too big on the prequels, well, at least John Williams' music is good. And now a lot of people don't really like the sequels too much. Hey, well, at least we've got John Williams' score. And now, of course, people are praising Ludwig Göransson's score. As I'm really struggling with his name. I think I might have to quickly Google how to pronounce it. But yeah, it's always been a celebrated feature of the franchise, and it's something that I love to listen to and that I actively enjoy outside of whatever film or TV show it might be attached to. So what I wanted to do was go through sort of a ranking, I suppose, although not really a ranking because it won't be in any particular order, but I suppose a ranking nonetheless because I have narrowed it down to 40 tracks we're going to be looking at today from the Star Wars universe that I just personally, this is very much a subjective list of course, really enjoy, and we're going to be taking a look at tracks from all 11 of the live-action Star Wars films, as well as tracks from The Mandalorian, The Clone Wars, Rebels, Jedi Fallen Order, and there's even a track in here from Shadows of the Empire. So those are all the things that I'll be covering today, and if there's any music or any soundtracks from different Star Wars things that I've neglected to look at, it's only because they're not readily available to me on, you know, Spotify. That's where I listen to all my music. So if I'd have had the opportunity to maybe listen to, I don't know, maybe Star Wars Republic Commando has the best video game score of all time, but I've, you know, never heard it. So I haven't sought out anything new for this. It's very much just my personal, like, these are the tracks I like to listen to. 40 may sound like an awful lot, but it was so difficult to try and narrow it down even to that. So yeah, and this is by no means going to be like a deep dive kind of like music enthusiasts kind of look into the tracks, and I'm not going to be talking about any sort of music theory or anything like that, you know, because I've got absolutely no clue about that kind of stuff. If you want that kind of stuff, then go and listen to The Soundtrack Show, which I think I've mentioned that on my episode about The Empire Strikes Back. That's a fantastic podcast by David W. Collins, I do believe, and he does all that wonderful stuff, and I've listened to his episodes on the original Star Wars trilogy, and some of the other ones as well. Yeah, just really great, really insightful look into music on that podcast. So if you want that kind of thing, then go there. This is literally just going to be me saying, I like this piece of music, this is why I think it's good, and that's probably where it's going to end, you know. And the reasons could be simply that I enjoy it, it sounds good to me, or maybe it's related to a particularly nostalgic memory that I have, or the scene that it might be attached to in whatever film, TV show, you know, just any reason like that, and I'll do my best to try and articulate why I like them, but this is very much just going to be a fan being all like, this sounds good. So that's about as much as you're going to get from me, but, you know, it should be fun. There is, I tried to keep this to officially released music, obviously, and there were originally a lot more unreleased tracks from things on here, but I decided to try and narrow them down as much as I possibly could, and I've only been left with one piece of music that is, as of right now, when I'm recording this, unreleased. But of course, I'll get onto that when I get to it. So I've got all of these tracks that I'm going to be talking about lined up on a Spotify playlist. I'm simply going to hit shuffle, and we'll just talk about the different tracks as we go through. So without further ado, let's get into it. The Jedi Steps and Finale from The Force Awakens by John Williams. So I remember when I first heard this track, and it was really exciting. It was in a TV spot for The Force Awakens, which is surprising to think about now. I'm surprised they did that. But yeah, I loved it when I heard it there, and I loved it even more when I finally heard it in the final film and realised that, of course, it was attached to this great moment of anticipation, sort of going up these Jedi steps and finally seeing Luke, because, of course, we'd been without him for the whole film. So I think this track just does a really wonderful job of kind of setting up that really mysterious and kind of mystical, you know, feeling going to see Luke, who has, we sort of assume at this point has become this kind of wizened, older Jedi Master type. You know, it really evokes that kind of feeling and really does build the anticipation. And then, of course, we get to that wonderful kind of moment of climax where the music swells and we see Luke. And yeah, it's just a really wonderful piece of music and just fits the moment, you know, perfectly. Once we have had our reveal of Luke, it does then transition into the Force theme, which of course is always nice to hear. And I think it was an effective use of it as well, because that particular motif was not used an awful lot throughout The Force Awakens. So to finally have it back where it does really remind you of the binary sunset, you know, it does sound, at least to me, like that same kind of arrangement of it. So, you know, really great use of that. And then, of course, with it being at the end of the film, we have the whole finale section of it as well, which in itself is great as well, because it really is like a greatest hits of that particular film, and of course in this case The Force Awakens. So not only do we get the end title music, but we get a little bit of Rey's theme, of Kylo Ren's theme, and the Resistance March. So that's all really great to hear as well. It's probably my favourite kind of end credits music to listen to, I think, throughout the entire saga, throughout all the films, because I love all of these individual and new for the Force Awakens tracks that John Williams did come up with. The Force Awakens was one of the hardest ones to try and narrow down different tracks from, because I sort of did have a kind of rule where I did, because I wanted to be as sort of expansive as possible when talking about all this different music, I kind of did limit it to two tracks per film. There is one case where I've only included one track and used three from another, so see if you can spot where I've done that. But yeah, having to try and narrow The Force Awakens soundtrack in particular down to just two tracks was really difficult. But I thought that, you know, this one is a really good one. You know, the Jedi Steps section is perfect for what that is. And then the finale end credits bit is also just a blast to listen to, because you're reminded of all those wonderful new themes from the rest of the film. So, yeah. The Tusken Camp and the Homestead from Attack of the Clones by John Williams. Unlike with the Force Awakens soundtrack, there wasn't really any difficulty for me when it came to narrowing down my two tracks for Attack of the Clones, just because it's never been a soundtrack I'm particularly a big fan of, and I don't think that's a controversial opinion. To be honest, I don't really see many people citing Episode 2's soundtrack as ever being their favourite, so that's why even with a track that I did end up going with this one, The Tuscan Camp and The Homestead, it's still not really one that I, like, love. I think the beginning of the track is fine. I think it ends pretty strong. Somewhere in the middle, it does kind of lose me a bit. However, there is a moment, because you're probably wondering, why did you pick it then, Daniel, if you don't like it? And I just want to say, even though I have just said that, I don't dislike it at all. It's still perfectly good music, I think, just compared to what else we'll be talking about a bit later on down the list. You know, this is hardly my most favourite stuff, but yeah, you know, why did I pick it then? Well, I'll tell you why. It's for this moment right here. This is already such a well-done moment within the film, you know, just the way it's framed, and obviously to give a bit of context, Anakin has been searching for his mother. He finds his mother strung up by some Tusken raiders, and it's pretty brutal. She looks like she's been through hell, and he has her in his arms, and that's where she dies. And then, of course, just this rage comes over Anakin, and is framed very nicely in the film, like from a visual standpoint, just that close-up of Hayden Christensen, who just, you know, lifts his head, and you just see all of that anger, like, in his face. Like, it's already such a well-done moment, and the music just elevates it that little bit more, and it's just perfect that, like, the you really hear it in those strings, just the way that Anakin has completely lost himself in this moment, and then of course he goes on to have a murderous rampage. So, like, it's just really horrific, and like, it gives you such a visceral reaction, I think, just that tiny moment in particular, and the way it builds up, and just, yeah, feels like such a release as well, very much like how Anakin is himself releasing his anger as he goes on to decapitate several sand people. I honestly don't have a lot more to say about it, really, just that it's really effective, and it's stuck with me ever since I was a child. That's something that I always remember from Attack of the Clones, if I think about it, you know, this moment, and you know, if I do think about it, then it always comes with the music as well. So that just goes to show how much of an impact, like, a single moment of really well done and, like, perfectly placed music can have. Yoda's theme from The Empire Strikes Back by John Williams. This is another one that I don't really have an awful lot to say about, to be honest, other than that it is, without a doubt, one of my very favourite pieces of music of all time. It's just such a beautiful, calming piece of music, and you feel the warmth from the character of Yoda, and you feel the cool and sort of calm wisdom. This track very much represents a kind of serenity and sort of just being one with everything, you know, in the same way that Yoda is, of course, very in tune with the Force, and, you know, he knows what he's doing with all that kind of stuff, and it's just so peaceful, and it's also playful as well. You know, in the middle it kind of takes somewhat of an unexpected turn and does become quite jaunty, but you know, all in all, it does fit Yoda's character to a T, or at the very least, the more idealized version of Yoda and how we would sort of expect him to be, you know, and sort of it's less a theme for Yoda as a literal character and more a piece of music that represents kind of everything we and sort of a Jedi should aspire to be. And I honestly can't say any more than that. It's just a lovely piece of music and it's so easy to listen to and it's just, like I said, just serenity. The Rise of Skywalker, from The Rise of Skywalker, by John Williams. I'm starting to realise that perhaps I don't actually have much to say about any of these tracks that I'll be talking about, which is probably a good thing, because, like I said earlier, there's 40 to get through, so if I spent 10 minutes talking about all of them, we'd be here all day. But, yeah, another one that I don't have an awful lot to say about, other than that it just makes me feel good. And I think this track in particular just captures everything that Star Wars is about to me. Like, listening to it, it feels like happiness, and it feels like seeing old friends, and it's just family and joy. Like, these are all the feelings and things that this piece of music just conjures up for me. And then as we get more towards the end of it, you know, it's triumph and it's victory and it's sort of overcoming the odds, you know, it really gives me that feeling. And to me, those are all things that Star Wars is about. And it's even more impressive that this is, of course, attached to a film that I think achieves none of that, but this piece of music alone gives me more of those feelings and just makes me feel that way more than the film ever did. And I don't mean to turn this into a episode 9 bashing, but like, just to me, it harkens back to the music of the original trilogy. Like, I think this could comfortably fit in, you know, the soundtracks for Empire or Return of the Jedi, and like, it wouldn't sound out of place. Like, it really just does give me that classic Star Wars feeling, and to me, that's just happiness. Farewell, from The Rise of Skywalker, by John Williams. So, despite it being the piece of music that accompanies the very unnecessary death of my favourite Star Wars character, this is also one of my favourite pieces from The Rise of Skywalker. I think it is a really well done piece of music, just because I think it does sort of all the heavy lifting for the scene, really. I mean, without this, there's none of that anticipation and the emotion probably wouldn't be there quite as much. So, it really does a good job in just building that up for the audience. And of course, even before all of that, it does contain the softer version of Kylo Ren's theme, which of course I suppose we can call Ben Solo's theme. So that's nice to hear, because I think that's the only place that it does appear on the Rise of Skywalker soundtrack as released. So it's nice to have that in there. I also think, and this is probably a weird thing to say on something where I'm obviously talking about how much I love the music, but it's as equally impressive when a composer knows when to not use music. And I think the moment where John Williams just allows that little bit of silence in between the, you know, that great build-up and that climax when Rey finally is revived and she sits up. And, you know, then there's that silence and she says, Ben, and then the music returns, you know, just allowing that little bit of nothing in between that is really effective, because then the music isn't there to, you know, overdo it then, you know, in that little moment where there is that silence, we are fully invested and just there with the two characters, and you know, you're kind of leaning into that moment and waiting for one of them to say something. And of course then when she whispers Ben, you know, it kind of is that relief then, and then that's when the music can come back in. And those are the main reasons really why I enjoy this track so much. It really just does so much for the emotion of the scene. Unfortunately, I think the track goes downhill once Ben Solo dies. but of course, maybe I'm just biased. It does actually end with a sort of a reprise or a reprise, whichever way you pronounce that word, of the Rise of Skywalker music that I literally just talked about. So, you know, I love that piece of music, obviously, as I just mentioned. So, but I don't know why we're celebrating with that music, given that Ben Solo just died and it's very sad, but I won't harp on about it. Main title from A New Hope by John Williams. I mean, I had to have this in here somewhere, didn't I? That main title, that unmistakably Star Wars main title music. What can you say about it, really? I mean, it's iconic, it's powerful, it's just... Imagine being in the audience for the first time in 1977 and hearing that. It must have just immediately whisked you away to a galaxy far, far away. This particular version of it, however, that appears on the A New Hope soundtrack is a concert arrangement of it, so it's got a few extra bits as well. Once the main title dies down a bit and then we transition into the music that plays at the start of A New Hope when the Empire is chasing after the Rebels, it then transitions into what sounds more like the end title music of the Star Wars films, like we heard earlier with the Jedi Steps track. And then from there, much like that track with The Force Awakens, it does become a sort of greatest hits of A New Hope, which I really enjoy. We get a bit of the Rebel fanfare, Princess Leia's theme. It's just a sort of an all-round Star Wars-y kind of track, which I appreciate, and it's a blast to listen to. And what else can you say about it, really, other than this is Star Wars? It's Over Now, from Rebels, by Kevin Kiner. So this is the one and only track from Star Wars Rebels that will be appearing on this list. Believe me, if the soundtracks for seasons 3 and 4 had been released for Rebels, then that it would be a different story, but unfortunately they have not yet been released, and it looks like they never will be at this point, which is absolutely criminal. But still, we have a really great piece of music from Season 2, It's Over Now, which plays at the end of Season 2. This is from the final moments of the Season 2 finale, so... And I used to really enjoy this track just because I thought it was a really great piece of music, but it's only until... actually quite recently that I realised it's Ahsoka's theme, and I don't think I realised that because I personally had never heard Ahsoka's theme, you know, up until this point, be sort of presented in this way. You know, it's a lot more grand and bombastic, you know, this kind of epic version of it, whereas Ahsoka's theme usually, at least from what I've heard, is usually played on, like, pan flutes and stuff. So, yeah, that was surprising when I sort of came to that realisation, but that kind of made me like it even more, because that's already such a great piece of music, and hearing it arranged in this new and exciting way is, yeah, just really something, and it was just a great way to cap off this season of Rebels. Long Live the Empire from The Mandalorian by Ludvig Göransson. And yes, I did Google how to pronounce his name correctly. but yeah, this is a really great track from The Mandalorian. This isn't the only track that contains Ludwig's sort of own musical representation of the Empire, with that really foreboding kind of start. And then, of course, we go into those really heightened and urgent strings. You know, lots of other tracks actually do contain that throughout the various Mandalorian soundtracks. This just happens to be my favourite track that does contain it, because after all of that, which is already so great, we get some pretty entertaining action music, I think, which gives us a little hint of the Mandalorian's own theme, but it's a bit more punchy and a bit more kind of determined, you know, as we're kind of making our way through this bit of action. I think in this particular moment he's trying to maybe stabilize the ship as it's kind of plummeting down to the planet below. And yeah, it's just a really entertaining piece of music to listen to, I think. And then I love how at the end it does kind of mellow out a little bit as we get our first hint towards Ahsoka in the show, which is nice. Just a nice bit of is it flutes, maybe, or some other kind of wind instrument? But yeah, it's just a really nice way to end the track. And overall, like I say, just a really entertaining track, I think. But the highlight is, without a doubt, the way Göransson really portrays the Empire as, like, this really sort of looming and almost distant threat, but you kind of know that they're there with the sort of low... Are they cellos at the start, maybe? I'm really concerned about committing to any kind of, like, instrument or anything like that, because I know that I'm probably getting it wrong, but just how looming the threat feels at the start, and then going into just those really manic kind of strings after, like, it's just really, you know, you feel the threat right there. It's so, like, anxiety-inducing, and it's just, yeah, really solid. Luke and Leia, from Return of the Jedi, by John Williams. Much like with Yoda's theme earlier, this is just, without a doubt, quite simply, one of my favourite pieces of music of all time. It's just so beautiful, and it makes me feel very similarly to how Yoda's theme feels. It's just so calming and peaceful, and obviously doesn't quite represent the same things thematically as Yoda's theme does, but it is in the same way just very warm, and it's the love and care between two siblings. And it is admittedly quite a repetitive track, like there's not an awful lot to it. It is just pretty much that same melody repeated. But it's a beautiful melody. I think genuinely one of John Williams' strongest leitmotifs that he has come up with. So yeah, I really love it. Your Father Would Be Proud, from Rogue One, by Michael Giacchino. So this track, of course, plays at the end of Rogue One, when The mission has been completed, but it's bittersweet because, of course, Jin and Cassian, they're down on the surface of Scarif, which is about to get, or I think at this point has even already gotten, Death Starred, you know, so the planet is on its way out. But I just think this is a really wonderful piece of music that accompanies the sort of ending montage really, really nicely. It contains the Jin Erso and Hope motifs, which Michael Giacchino came up with, and I think are the strongest new themes from that film, so they're used really well here. And yeah, it's a track that manages to capture every contrasting emotion of the moment, I feel. You know, it is quite triumphant in places, but at the same time it's quite sorrowful. It really balances itself well, which is why it's so appropriate and sort of pitch perfect for the scene. And it is just, without a doubt, my favourite piece of music from Rogue One. The Imperial March from The Empire Strikes Back by John Williams. So, I'm going to admit something that's rather blasphemous, I think. I had zero intention of including this one when I originally got the idea for doing this episode, because this is honestly not a track that I listen to that regularly, if ever, you know, just because it's so overplayed, even outside of Star Wars. You know, it's become one of those things that's just transcendent, and you know, obviously that's because it is a great piece of music, but, you know, just the fact that it has become almost so detached from its original purpose, you know, it's not one that I actively listen to very much. However, when it came to compiling this list, and I sort of came to realise that perhaps The Empire Strikes Back doesn't have the strongest soundtrack, in my opinion, actually trying to pick two tracks that I genuinely, like, really loved from that score was difficult, because obviously there's Yoda's theme, which I've already talked about, and I adore, so that was, you know, an instant pick. But then the other one, I was like, well, I don't really, you know, it could be the asteroid field, I guess, maybe Lando's Palace, but, you know, again, the Empire soundtrack just doesn't do an awful lot to me. And then I just decided to put this one on, The Imperial March, and I listened to it, and I tried to detach myself as much as I could from everything that the track has kind of become today, and just tried to listen to it, and listen to it for what it is. And actually, I really enjoy what this track does, because obviously it represents the Empire. It even is sometimes referred to as being Darth Vader's theme, and I think it's kind of gone beyond that, much like how the main title theme was originally intended to be Luke's theme. That's obviously, you know, it's become more, and I think the same for this, but it's really interesting what John Williams decided to do. Like, he didn't portray the Empire in the same way, for instance, like we talked about earlier, like Ludwig Göransson did, being at all threatening, really, I don't think. It's such a bombastic and triumphant and show-offy track. You know, this is the Empire at the height of their power. It's not a villainous track, really, I don't think. I mean, obviously, it can be used that way, you know, when arranged differently, and, you know, I have heard it, obviously, in ways that, you know, even John Williams himself has done it, and it's sounded plenty threatening. But just this track, as it appears on the Empire Strikes Back soundtrack, it's just really interesting, I think, and even quite playful in the middle. Thank you. And so in that respect, I do actually kind of admire what John Williams did, and he just made the Empire so untouchable and sort of so arrogant through this piece of music. And I think it really does a lot actually to portray them in not a necessarily villainous way, but just, yeah, like I said, just over the top, bombastic, show offy. It's really interesting, I think, and you know, the track just nails it. Rey's theme from The Force Awakens by John Williams. I feel like Rey's theme just became an instant classic the minute The Force Awakens came out. Like, that is a piece of music that I think will live on, even if certain other aspects of the sequel trilogy or even Star Wars as a whole do not. I think Rey's theme is destined to be up there with the likes of the Imperial March and the main title and Yoda's theme. You know, it's just an excellent piece of music, and it's just really, it just gives me such a wonderful feeling. It's getting ready for adventure, and it's seeing the wonders of the galaxy. Like, it gives me all of that, I think. I think it really plays up the space fantasy element of Star Wars, which, of course, George Lucas always maintained that, you know, Star Wars is not science fiction, it's space fantasy, and I think this track just captures it beautifully. Walk to Dryden's from Solar by John Powell. I love this track, and it's a very personal pick because really it's for one very specific moment, but we'll get to that in a minute. But you know what, I do enjoy the way the track starts. It's very mellow. It again actually does give me that kind of space fantasy feeling once again. You know, I was listening to it just now and kind of was giving me Skyrim vibes. So, yeah, could almost imagine myself just sitting in the Bannered Mare listening to that. But, yeah, it's a perfectly decent track to begin with. However, the one and only and very specific and personal reason that I love this track so much is for this right here. Oh, it's so good. I love it. I just love the bombast of it. I love the brassiness. Just I said this during my Solo commentary, but it really does remind me of like old 60s James Bond like villain. It's so good. I love that about it, and it just makes me smile whenever I hear it. And I'm so glad that it's been released, because when I first got the idea to do this and I started compiling tracks and thinking about what I would include, this had not yet been released, because this has only come out with the extended edition of the Solo soundtrack, and that came out not too long ago. So when, of course, that came out, I was like desperately searching for see if this was on there, and of course it was, and I was just so pleased, because yeah, it really bummed me out that it wasn't on the original release of the soundtrack. So that's just really good, and it's just such a personal pick, but I really love it. Cut Cal Kestis from Jedi Fallen Order by Stephen Barton and Gordy Harb. This is another one that wasn't released until quite recently, officially, anyway. The Jedi Fallen Order soundtrack, which I was so pleased that, yeah, it got an official release. It just made things a hell of a lot easier for me. But yeah, Cal's theme is one I remember, you know, when I was actually playing the game for the first time, that was one of the pieces of music that obviously stood out to me while I was playing it. And you know, only a few really did. So that's why you'll find them on this list. But yeah, I really like Cal's theme. It just screams Star Wars to me. Like, it could comfortably sit next to any of the other character themes from any of the films, and I don't think it would sound out of place. It really delivers on that heroic quality that a lot of the good character themes do. But also, it represents Cal quite well as well, I think. You know, it does have a lot of uncertainty in it, I think, and as Cal sort of doubts himself throughout the game, and that's represented quite well, because there's a lot of sort of rising and falling in the melody, like the way it kind of goes up and down, which is, yeah, really good, I think. And then as the track goes on, it becomes a lot more purposeful, I think, as Cal himself becomes a lot more capable. So, you know, it does really tell the story of his character quite well. I suppose my only criticism of the track would just be how it ends. Things all of a sudden take a rather dark turn, which I'm not a fan of, and I'm not entirely sure why it does that. But yeah, the rest of the track is just really solid to me, and I think is very Star Warsy. Eno Cordova's theme from Jedi Fallen Order by Stephen Barton and Gordy Harb. I was very surprised to learn upon listening to the Jedi Fallen Order soundtrack when it came out that this was Eno Cordova's theme. This is obviously the music that plays on the main menu, and I'm not sure where else it appears in the game. I've not heard it anywhere else myself, but yeah, a really sad, melancholic piece of music, which again surprises me as to why it's either Eno Cordova's theme, but that's neither here nor there really. Yeah, I don't have an awful lot to say about it, just that it is a really beautiful piece of music, and it is just sad, and I think it kind of captures the feeling of isolation and tragedy that obviously a character like Cal Kestis has gone through really well. Whether or not it's supposed to represent that kind of thing, obviously with it again being Eno Cordova's theme, I don't know, but certainly with it being paired with just the image of Cal's escape pod on the main menu, it definitely does evoke that kind of feeling, and it's just really effective. Across the Stars from Attack of the Clones by John Williams. This is another one that's quite sad, actually. Despite it being the love theme for Anakin and Padme, I don't know, this one gives off a real sense of, like, love that is just doomed to end in tragedy. Or maybe I'm just, that could just be me taking, obviously, what I know becomes of Anakin and Padme's relationship and retroactively applying it to the music, but, you know, I might not be doing that, because, this is definitely not as romantic as Han and Leia's theme. I said that like I was going to say more, but I don't think there's any other love themes, are there? Not in the films, at least. But yeah, this one definitely is a lot more serious and kind of does give off that vibe of forbidden love. And yeah, it's just really interesting. And this is without a doubt the best track from Attack of the Clones. Reminiscence Therapy from Solo by John Powell. This is just such a fun track, and it's just a mishmash of so many different themes from throughout the saga. Like, it's just a lot of fun, and honestly, I don't have a lot more to say about it other than that. You know, it just, it really elevates this action sequence to a whole new level for me, just hearing the Rebel fanfare and the similar sort of music that we hear in A New Hope during the dogfight after they escape the Death Star, and that, hearing the asteroid field music again from The Empire Strikes Back, which we have not heard since that film. It's just a lot of fun. And then obviously we've got Han Solo's theme thrown in from this film, as well as Chewie's theme as well. Which I really like. I'm a big fan of that one. And it's just a lot of fun. Like, I can't just stress that enough. It's just a really enjoyable and exciting listen. Main theme from Star Wars and Leia's Nightmare, from Shadows of the Empire, by Joel McNeely. So, you might be thinking that this is a bit of an odd one, especially since I've already had a main title on here, but there's just something about this particular version of it from Shadows of the Empire that I really like. I think it's probably because there's a bit less budget behind it, and so, and I could be wrong, but I think the mix of it is probably a little bit different, and I guess worse, but I don't really mean that, because, like, I like the way it sounds, and I like that it does sound a bit different. There's just a few things that you don't usually get from one of the John Williams composed versions of the theme, that, like, that there's, like, some of the timings just feel a little bit different, and some of the instruments are a bit more prominent that usually get buried in the mix of the main titles from the films. So it's just nice to hear a sort of a very subtly different rendition of the title theme. But also I just like what comes afterwards as well. You have the little motif that I think you hear quite a lot on the Shadows of the Empire score. And then it's followed by basically a redo of the version of Han and Leia's theme, where Han is being put into carbonite in The Empire Strikes Back. And I just love this particular version of it because, and this is actually true of the version in The Empire Strikes Back as well. I thought it was just on this, but this is a John Williams thing. There's that bit of saxophone in there. Which just makes it feel so dated in the most wonderful way, and I find it to be just so charming, and it is just a great piece of music. Obviously, more John Williams, really, than Joel McNeely, but it's still really good. Ahsoka Lives from The Mandalorian by Ludvig Göransson. So this is another one of those tracks that I included for just one very specific moment, which comes right at the end, but honestly, I do actually quite enjoy the beginning of the track as well. It's this very unique version of the Mandalorian's theme that sounds almost medieval and sort of very fantasy kind of, I mean, whichever one I compared to Skyrim earlier, I mean, this one can easily take that spot. Yeah, it's very interesting. But what really makes this track for me is the ending, and that's because we get Ahsoka's theme done by a full orchestra, like really just grand version of it, and it just sounds fantastic. And you know, there's been talk for so long with bringing Ahsoka into live action, and when rumblings first started about it happening potentially in the second season of The Mandalorian, one thing that I always was hopeful for, that if that did happen, that they would keep her theme. And, you know, it wouldn't just be ignored. You know, Kevin Kiner's work from The Clone Wars wouldn't just get swept under the rug. And I've wished for so many years as well to be able to hear that theme fully realised with, like, a full orchestra. And that's exactly what we get here. And it's just marvellous. And it's, yeah, really something. Unreleased music from Shattered, from The Clone Wars, by Kevin Kiner, I assume. So yes, this is the one and only unreleased piece of music on my list, and I just couldn't not include it, because this music just... oh. Shattered from the final season of The Clone Wars is without a doubt my favourite episode of that series, and a big reason for that is just the mood and the tension it builds and the very uneasy atmosphere just around everything. There's so many great moments where there's just no dialogue and it's just this music that just takes you through the scenes and just builds and builds on that horrible gut feeling that you have that something horrible is going to happen, which of course we know something horrible is going to happen because this is the lead up to Order 66. But the music just does such a fantastic job of setting that atmosphere, like, just perfectly. And it's such a crime that it is not included on the soundtrack for these final few episodes of The Clone Wars. This was what I was really looking forward to listening to again once that soundtrack was released, and it's not on there, and it's just so upsetting, because this really, you know, without this music I don't think the episode would feel the same. And it's so good and unique within Star Wars, and it's very Blade Runner, which I love it for. It's just pitch perfect and like everything it needs to be in order to service the mood and the tone of the episode. Like, it's really fantastic, and I just can't say enough good things about it. And it's just such a shame that it hasn't been officially released. I've had to just download it from YouTube. This is just a rip of it that some user on YouTube has done. In fact, I'll quickly look. So I pulled this from a video by YouTube user DiamondFire, so thank you to them. This is obviously, because it's ripped from the episode, I think you can still hear like sounds of spaceships and whatnot in the background, but hey, this is the best we can do, because if I've not made it clear enough already, this is not officially released music, and that makes me very angry. Right, I think we'll leave it there for now, I think. We've been here for an hour. I honestly wasn't expecting it to take me this long to get through them all, but I suppose I don't know what I was expecting with 40 tracks of music to talk about. I thought I'd have done them all by now, if I'm being perfectly honest. I thought it would only take me an hour to get through all of them, but I guess we're only halfway. But hey, halfway is a good place to start. We've covered 20, we've got 20 more to go. So I think I'll save the rest for next week's episode. And yes, I do mean next week, definitely. So you can look forward to that. I'm just going to wrap it up here. I hope you're enjoying hearing my thoughts on the various music throughout Star Wars thus far. I hope it's not just me rambling on about a subject that I know nothing really about, but hey, even if it is, whatever, it's free content. Yeah, join me again next week for much of the same. And it, of course, it goes without saying that any of the music you heard in this episode is not owned by me. I don't claim to have created it or to own it in any sort of capacity. It is all created by the wonderful composers that come up with this genius stuff and is owned all, presumably, by Disney and Lucasfilm. And yeah, so just want to put that out there. I do sincerely hope that I don't get sued or anything for this, but I guess we'll just have to see. But yeah, thanks for listening. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Are you itching for a good story? Laughter among friends, maybe even a mystery or two? Well, you're in luck. Fire-Breathing Kittens is a standalone Dungeons & Dragons podcast. Each episode is a separate 3-hour-long story, like a movie for your ears, so you can listen to these adventures in any order you like. So, join us on a real-play D&D quest as we solve mysteries, attempt comedic banter, and enjoy friendship. Fire-Breathing Kittens podcast. Fantasy, action, mystery, friendship.